and reached the conclusion, as he said, that my life and all I own belongs to the Lord, so I must go to the Rocky Mountains. That's what led him to come west in the first place. Then in his diary, I assume most of you know, he kept a daily diary from 1838 to 1885. And I'm in the process of transcribing it. I'm only as far as 1855, so I don't know what's in the last part. But every year on his birthday, he has something similar on the order of this that he had on his 48th birthday in 1850. 48 years old, and much of my time has run to waste. But I pray God to forgive the past and give me grace for the future. And then on December 31st, he says, thus ends this year with another reading of the Bible true, another year of my pilgrimage here on earth. May the Lord help me henceforth to live more to his divine acceptance. But I didn't say I'd talk on Lucy Smith, so I've got to quit that. What I volunteered to and said I wouldn't talk on was the early settlement of the Forest Grove region. When we first moved here, we became curious and started riding around and looking at the country. We'd like to know the pioneer history of the region, and we became curious about who settled here, when, and why they settled where they did. That is, how the region got settled. So through a combination of A.T. Smith's diary and this donation land claim map, this is a map of all the donation land claims, you see, of West Fulton Plains, and other things that I have studied, I have worked out the sequence of the settlement of this region, the West Fulton Plains, which is what this was called. And I have put on the table, just for you to look at if you're interested, not particularly to keep because they're not totally accurate yet, a list of the first about 130 settlers of this region. Now, Fulton Plains is a 25-mile-long east to west, 12, 15 miles north to south valley. And the first settlements were over east, northeast of Hillsboro. And that was soon called the East Fulton Plains, because shortly later, a group of former Hudson Bay men who had worked in the Red River region of Canada came here and settled near what is now North Plains, and that was called the North Plains. That's where the term comes from. And when the A.T. Smith came and settled over here at Forest Grove, then within a year or two, they started calling everything west of Dairy Creek. Remember the low place as you approach Hillsboro from the west? Everything west of Dairy Creek is called West Fulton Plains. So this is a map of West Fulton Plains. Now, I know you can't see it close, but I think particularly if you ride around, what I want you to do is to ride around with me in your imaginations and see where the different people chose to settle. I just pointed out here's Hillsboro, which is not concerned with. West Fulton Plains, I'm going to talk about Cornelius, Forest Grove, Billy, down to Gaston, up to Gales Creek, and then to Greenville, and Roy, and Fairborn. That is this circle, you see, the settlement of that circle. Now, the first settler, as I said, was Alvin Thompson Smith, a 39-year-old. I was also curious after I got into this. Well, I got into it partly first by reading the stones off the Forest View Cemetery and to see how old all these men, that was where I first started, how old these men were and how young their wives were when they died. It was one of the things that first roused my interest in getting into it. So I was interested in how old these men are when they come here, and on that list I had the ages when they came here, and what I found was that this was a young man's game coming out here. They were nearly all in their late 20s or 30s when they came here to settle. And the very few who were in their 50s, I will comment on, because that's unusual. Most of the early settlers were in their late 20s or their 30s. And the first settler was the 39-year-old Alvin Thompson Smith, who was from Illinois, and his wife Abigail, she was 48 at the time. They had come out with Harvey Clark and had spent the preceding year at Whitman's Mission up in Puritan territory, helping Whitman and Spalding. But then, and then they rode horseback, these three couples really, they rode horseback down the Snake and down the Columbia and came to Oregon City and rode into the Fulton Plain to visit Reverend Griffin, whom they had known as Whitman's mission. And he lived over north of Hillsburg, there, around where Evergreen Street, I think it is. No, just north and a little east of Hillsburg, Reverend John S. Griffin. They camped with him. And A.G. Smith spent 2 days riding out all over the Tualatin Plain, deciding where to start a mission both to farm and to start a mission for the Indians. And he picked this piece of land just south of what is now Forest Grove. So that the first factor in Forest Grove being here, rather than somewhere else, is that A.T. Smith picked this sloping, a square mile, 640 acres approximately, of land that slopes from 12th Street, the northern boundary is 12th Street, that slopes down to the Tualatin River and the creek that we now call Gales Creek, but which for the first of these 10 years was called Smith's Creek. Because of A.T. Smith lived at the place where the creek runs into the Tualatin River. The question is, why did he pick that place? This came early to me because I think this part up here is so pretty. And this part, the trouble with this land, is that it floods. The southern third of this is flooded every year. Well, you remember how Carnation Street did, always did. And that's Carnation Street is on this land. And there are only, he doesn't say why he picked that in particular, but part of the reason probably was is that there were Indian settlements here along Gales Creek, up here north and west of Forest Grove, and of course there were a lot of Indian settlements down in the Wapato Valley. That's one factor. The other factor that is, I postulate that this land was open land. There is woods. The northern part of it was wooded when, at the beginning of this century, in 1900, I know that. The northern part was wooded, but the lower part was apparently open because he plows. He makes a plow. He builds a, cuts trees, and builds a cabin right away in that first fall. And it rained every day while he was doing this. And then he makes a plow in January and starts plowing in February. He says nothing about digging out stumps. So that one can postulate that there was open land there that he plowed quite easy the first year. Now this land, is the first donation land claim. As I say, from 12th Street down the river. It runs east to Maple Street, and on the west it goes about at the level of Ash Street. Is the boundary of it, and it's drawn here on the map if you want to see it later. He built a cabin there, he plowed it and planted it, and within 3 years it was a very prosperous farm. The land was so good that in some years later, he writes a letter back to Connecticut boasting about what a paradise Oregon is compared to New England, and he tells about in 1842 that he planted 16 bushel of wheat seeds, and in August harvested 540 bushels of wheat and left the land lie for another year, and the following year harvested 420 more bushels of wheat off of the same original 16 bushels planted. And that's how fertile the land was in Oregon. So that's the first factor is Bob Forrest was here, is because he happened to choose that land. Because for the next 5 years, everybody settled right around him, as I will show you. Now, there were no other, he and his wife were the only settlers here, only settlers west of, northeast of Hillsboro, where it was where the other people were living. They were the only people living here for a year and a half. And not until the spring of 1843 did two young men come. One was an 18-year-old boy named Darling Smith, who came and he came out on horseback. He came to Smith's house and lived at his cabin and helped him dig potatoes all that winter and plant wheat the next spring. Then Smith helped Darling Smith build a cabin for himself But Jari Smith was not a permanent settler who moved to the Anvil Valley, as a number of people who came here then moved down the Anvil Valley later. The second permanent, or second real settler, was a young man named Thomas Eubanks and his wife, who came in June of 1843, visited Smith, stayed with Smith, and he said, "We went out to look at the country." That's what he says in his diary when he's showing a prospective settler of the country. Walked out round to look at the country and picked a place for Eubanks to settle. Now, Eubanks' wife died. He left Oregon in 49 and went somewhere else. I don't know where. He didn't stay and take a donation land from him. So I had no proof of where he was. But from evidence in the diary, I'm pretty sure that he settled on the sloping land that goes from the Forest View Cemetery down towards Gales Creek, along, you see, it's this region, right in here. Here's Ritchie Road started here. Here's Gales Creek Road. So the land between Forest View Cemetery and Gales Creek Road running towards the west. I'm pretty sure that's the land that Thomas Eubanks farmed from then until 1849, when he had a sale and he sold his land. And from various bits of evidence, I postulate that the Buxtons bought Thomas Eubanks' land, and that was then the Buxton, which is where they settled later. Now, in July of 1843, one of Oregon's famous men, Joseph Gale, came here and settled here. Joseph Gale had been a Rocky Mountain fur trapper in the 30s, and in the end of 1840, when the beaver were getting all gone in the Rocky Mountains, a whole group of fur trappers came and settled over northeast of Hillsboro, and Joseph Gale was one of them. He was a 40-year-old man. The next, they all had Indian wives and half-breed children, as far as is known. The next year, Joseph Gale was persuaded by the other settlers over in the Oregon City region to take charge of building a boat, the Star of Oregon, to sail it down to San Francisco to get cattle, because the settlers in Oregon had no cattle except what they get from the Hudson Bay Company, and the Hudson Bay Company would only lend them very poor cattle. So Joseph Gale was hired to build a boat, get a crew of men, sail down to San Francisco, buy cattle from the Spaniards in California, and drive them north into Oregon. And he did this. And he left his two children, I don't know whether his wife was dead or not, but he left his two children with A.T. Smith. And those two children who lived with Smith from then, which is 42, the summer of 42, and they lived with Smith off and on from then on through the time that Gale went down to California to the gold rush. The Smiths kept orphans, their children, frequently, and these Gale children lived with Smith from then on. When Gale came back from California with the cattle, and he came up to the famous July 4th, 5th meeting at Champoy, when the provisional government of Oregon was established. And the next day, he then drove the cattle that came up to A.T. Smith's house to see his children, and he decided to settle here. And he and Smith then went out and looked around for land, and they picked the land, They picked the land around Prickett's Creek, which is a creek. Remember, think of Stringtown Road. You're at Watts Corner. You turn down Stringtown Road. After you go about a distance of half, three quarters of a mile, there's a high bluff over on your right. And that's Prickett's Creek. Prickett's Creek is right near there. And that creek then runs down into Gale's Creek. And that's land that Joseph Gale, that Smith and Gale, picked for Gale to live on and to build a mill on. And this is the second factor in Forest Grove being here, is that Gale and Smith together built a grist mill on that Prickett's Creek. And as soon as that mill was built, then the people that lived over in East Fulton Plains started coming over here to have your grain drunk. This was the first requirement for those in Middleburg, had your grain drunk. Because before that, Smith himself had to went clear up to Fort Vancouver, which was a 3-day trip to Horseman to get his grain drunk. So Joseph Gale's mill on Cricket Creek was the second factor. Now, the fall of 1843 is the first big migration in Oregon, first time when there were matters of hundreds of people came over the Oregon Trail. In fact, that's the first year practically of the Oregon Trail. And of these, 6 families and 9 single men came to West Baldwin Plain, so that this is the beginning, really, of a settlement here. Smith, I records 24 of its people that come to the whole Baldwin Plains, and of them, 6 families and 9 single men come out to Forest Grove. And I just want to, I'm going to have to skip a lot of this, but otherwise I'm going to talk about it. But there are several that are important in the history of Forest Grove. One was a young man, Almoran Hill is his name, Almoran Hill, and his wife, Sarah. He was 20 years old. They came here and they took land, settled on land, just south of Smith. Here's A.T. Smith is living there. There's Thomas Newbanks and Joseph Gale living over there. Those are the only people on this living on this whole map. And Almoran Hill takes land somewhere near Dillon, which you see is just south of A.T. Smith's land. We don't know just where. He lived there for 2 years and then sold the land for 400 bushels of wheat, and he and his wife then moved down to, you know, when you go down Spring Hill Road and you turn left to go up to Laurelwood, well, that's Almoran Hill's land. When you turn from Spring Hill Road left to go up to Laurelwood, that's where he and his wife moved, and he became then a very good friend and advisor of the Indians who lived in the Wapato Valley. The second family to come was an older man. Smith always called him Old Mr. Mills, John Mills. And he has a number of children, one of them, a girl, Jane, is old enough that the following year she gets married to a bachelor who also came out on the 43 track, Richard Arthur, and they settle up near Roy. So Mills is old enough to have children in the 20s. He and Smith help each other, particularly Smith helps him a great deal, and he settled here in this, somewhere down here in on the 12th, he too didn't take a donation land place, so we don't know just where, but somewhere along the 12th, south of Smith. There was a family of people from called the McGarrys, a whole group of them that came out in 43, and most of them settled down in the Amhill Valley. But a young man, Garrett McGarry, and his mother came here and lived with A.T. Smith and helped with his farm work, and the woman helped Mrs. Smith with her housework. And for several years, Smith built them a cabin there so that they were, in effect, the forest settlers, temporary settlers. But they then left and went to Yandale Valley. An important one man who came in 43 was Horace Brown. He was a 43-year-old man who left his family, a number of children, his wife, back in Missouri, and he was a farmer. He came out here, he wasn't going to move to Oregon, but he found out that the soil would raise good crops. So he rode horseback out by himself, leaving his family in Missouri. He arrived in January of 44, and he took this piece of land immediately north of A.T. Smith. That would be Forest Grove, from 12th Street up no boundary, because he didn't take it as a donation land, but up to almost here. And he plowed the land down near Smith, planted a crop of wheat, found it was good land, so he plowed the next year, planted another crop, and then sold this land to Harvey Clark, who by that time was invited to come over here and start his church. Horace Brown planted a second crop, sold his land to Harvey Clark for 500 bushels of wheat to be delivered the following fall when he got back here with his family. Then Horace Brown rode horseback back to Missouri, got his family and his mother, Tabitha Brown, and came out in 46. Another important settler of Forest Grove who arrived in 43 is William Geiger, who was a young man, a bachelor, who had been working on Whitman's mission. He was partially trained as a doctor. He was taught singing at Fulton Academy. He apparently had various abilities. And he also came and stayed with A.T. Smith, and they went out and looked at the country. And Geiger then chose the land immediately east of A.T. Smith, along what we now call Geiger Road. The land on either side of Geiger Road, going over past the Follett Road, is where William Geiger settled a couple years later when he got married. Now, and then in the spring of 44, from the same day of 43 migration, came Thomas and Sarah Naylor. Naylor is a very important man in the history of Forest Grove and of this church. He was the clerk of this church for quite a number of years, almost the first 10 years of the history of this congregation. And then he continued as a deacon throughout, as far as I know, the rest of his life. And he took the land immediately west of A.T. Smith. It's this land here. It's the land from about Carpenter Creek Road, just a little bit above Stringtown Road where it comes into 47. That flat land to the left of 47 going north, clear up to 23rd Street in the Forest Grove, the western part of Forest Grove. Then a young couple, William and Mary Wilson, came and settled up near Roy, where Roy is now. Wasn't there. They were all by themselves. Those were the first settlers in West Fulton out away from this group around A.T. Smith. But they weren't all that far away from the group that had already settled in North Plains, you see. That is, they did have neighbors in the vicinity. And another young bachelor, Solomon Emmerich, came and took this land, probably the land that we're on here now, approximately, and lived here for 1 year, but then he got married to a widow and moved over and took the land south of what's now Cornelius. And he's of interest to us because he sold that land to Harvey Clark at the same time that Horace Brown sold his land to Harvey Clark. So this is what became their southeastern section of Forest Grove. In the fall of 44, there was a very small migration. Only one family came, and that was Benjamin and Clorinda Tucker, who took a donation land claim, which is now Cornelius, this land that forms the northern half of Cornelius. So by the end of 1844, which is 3 years, you see, after the end of the first 3 years history here, there are seven families living now, settlers living in this vicinity around A.T. Smith, between what will be Dilley and Forest Grove. There are two families near Roy, there is one that I didn't do, I'm having to skip, and one family at future Cornelius. And all together in West Fulton Place, there are about 18 men and 9 women, an unknown number of children. I have no way of finding out the number of children. Then in 1845, several important events happened for Forest Grove. One is that A.T. Smith and William Geiger invited Harvey Clark. They were all members of Reverend Griffin's church over in Hillsboro, and I've talked about that before. Mrs. Richards has written about that. A.T. Smith and William Geiger decided they wanted a church over here, not over in East Fulton Plains, and they invited Harvey Clark to come here and be their pastor and start a congregation here in Forest Grove, and that is this congregation. And on July 20th, I believe it was, in 1845, Clark came back and took this land. He bought in the spring, he bought Horace Brown's land and Solomon Emmerich's land, the land running from 12th Street north to almost the middle of the campus, including the land that this building is on, and from Hawthorne Street on the east to B Street on the west. And this was Harvey Clark's then donation line fund. So he came in 45, and the other one that came through West Hall and Plains that's of interest to us is Henry Black. Henry Black was a young man from Kentucky who had ridden horseback out here in 1840, at the same time that H.E. Smith first came, the very beginning, Smith and Clark. And he had lived over at least 12 Plains. And he was married in 42 in the first Christian marriage performed on the 12 Plains by Reverend Griffin, married a widow, Lizette Warfield. And Henry Black and his wife, Lizette, moved over and took a donation land claim, the land that is now their board. Took the land claim that was then bought in the late 70s by the Burr colony when they came here to settle. Henry Clark, Henry Black then moved into Forest Grove at that time. The next big migration was in 1846. And there were four families came to West Tolland Plains. In the first place, Morris Brown came back with his family. He came out in the migration, and he took the land north of Forest, north of what is now Forest Grove, up the land that runs from Highway 47 past Thatcher Road up to the just beginning to go up the slope of David's Hill, that is to the beginning of that David, here's David Hill Road, you see, going up there. This is Morris Brown's land. Beautiful place. I ride up there and look to your side, and that I think is a beautiful place to have settled, land that he took. A second permanent settler was an older man, the first man in his 50s on the plane. This is 1846. This is Andrew Brown, Andrew Harper. Andrew Harper and his wife Eliza and his two grown sons. And they came apparently from, they came either from Connecticut or Illinois, or both possibly, as H.T. Smith did, because they knew Smith's family. They came bringing, and they brought Smith letters and 20 pieces of gold pieces from his brother in Illinois. And they took the land immediately west of Smith, Andrew Parker and his family. Then a young couple, William and Angeline Catchin, came, and they took the land where the Masonic home is now, at this long, narrow strip of land that runs almost to the edge of Cornelius. That was where, as I say, where the Masonic home is now. And then a fourth family, Joseph and Lucy Davis, they took land down near what is now Scotland's Church. They were really the first ones to get off down into this valley. Well, I'll just do 47 and then I'll skip and finish this up. In 47, five families came, among them, and Tabitha Brown, who was Horace Brown's mother, came up to visit her son, talked to Clark at the church service, said she wanted to start an orphan asylum. Clark says, I'll help you in a house on my land. And the following spring, in April of 48, he started what Smith in his diary calls the orphan asylum, but which you all know a year later was then taken over by the Congregational Ministerial Association and changed into 12 and Catholic. And this was the third big factor in the growth, and probably in a way the most important factor, is the growth of Forest Grove at this location. Because it was this school, 12 and Academy. Because as soon as that academy was started, people moved here so their children could be educated. You read in letters and diaries and this kind of thing, over and over and over again, my parents moved to Forest to West Fallon Plains so the children could go to school. So that was a big factor in the development of the town at this place. And at that same time, when Fallon Academy was started, this was 1849, Harvey Clark, he divided the northern part of his land. Remember I said his donation land claim went to about the middle of the campus, and then down to 12th Street, to H.T. Smith's land. Well, the land from the middle of the campus, the part that is now campus he turned over to Fulton Academy. And then he got a surveyor, Isaiah Mitchell, to plat into town lots, land from 20th Street down to probably about 16th. It's hard to be exactly sure. But, and how far east and west is not known. And this was in February of 49, February or March of 49. And those are town lots that are for sale then. No longer does you have to come and take a whole square mile and build a house and live on it for 5 years and this kind of thing. That's what the donation land place were. They started selling Harvey Clark, turned this land over to Fulton Academy. And the land was sold as lots then, and we now have the beginning of a village. This is in the end, by the end of 49. A village which was still called Westpolitan Plains until around 52. They started calling it, some people called it Oak Grove, some people called it Forest Grove. By 54, Tabitha Brown and A.T. Smith both are heading their letters Forest Grove. And then by 59, even the post office called it Forest Grove. But until that, over in Idaho, he came there, so that they were running over the church. And they all took turns preaching at our church, you see. Walker was the only one that stayed. Cushing Neal stayed for several years and became teacher at the academy when that was started. He and his wife started a Sunday school in this church, which has run ever since, and they ran it until they left and moved over to Hillsboro in 52. And the Walkers, of course, stayed permanently. At that time, I wanted to say that before that, 48, I guess it was, this, so far there is only one church here. In 47, an older couple, William and Susanna Corbett, moved here, and they took this land north of Cornelius, north of Benjamin Tucker's land. And William Porter was a Baptist minister. And in 1852, he started the second church in this town, the Baptist Church, at his house, at his land, not in this town, West Fulton, over there. And that developed very rapidly, the Baptist Church. And then the Methodist Church started, I have it down sometime, I forget just when it went. I think it's 57, 56. About there. By the beginning, by the end of 49, there were about 40 families living in the Westpolitan Plains. 32 of them had filed for donation land claims. The Donation Land Claim Act was passed in the end of 49, the early 50. And the people who had lived on the land before that could then claim, the man and his wife would claim 640 acres, which is a section, a square mile of land, and file for it at the office, the government office in Oregon City, which is what all these people then did. And what this map is a map of the donation land claims of all the area by 18. But I wanted to point out to you that at that time, all of the land within about a 2 mile circle around present day Forest Grove was all taken solid. It's full. A circle like this is full. And there were about 25 families living in a 2 to 3 mile circle around Forest Grove. Then in the triangle that you draw from Verbort to Greenville to Roy, that triangle up there, there were 6 families living in that area. There were 4 families living in the Cornelius area, and 3 down on the Wapato Lake, or Air Valley. Now, but the interesting thing is that there were none of any of the valleys. Patton, Spalgas, Gales Creek, Hillside area, none of those. No land claims at all. Nobody settled west of this point up any of the valleys. But then until all this land was full. You see, this is, well, and then you drive around and look at it, you can understand this. It's the easy to follow. But most of the land would flood. Then during the next 6 years, all the donation land claims were taken by 55. During the next 6 years, there were 60 families that moved in at a rate of about 10 a year and settled in turn up each of the valleys, so that all the land is claimed up Patton Valley, and the first settlers in that in Patton Valley were also important members of the congregation, Allison Kinney and his wife, took their donation land claim up just east of Cherry Grove. Just before you get to Cherry Grove is the land of Allison and Martha Hindman, and next to them are the Garishes, who was Martha Hindman's
Garish.
They live in Patton Valley. In Scotland's Valley, there was another important member of this church, Norman and Julia Martin, who took the land that is now Stinson's Mill. And if they settled 50, he was a Scotchman. He was from Scotland, Norman Martin, and he had married Julia, I don't know who she was, in Clark, I think Clark County, one of the other counties, in Oregon. So he'd been in Oregon for a while before he came here in 1850 and took this donation land claim where Stinson Mill is now. But if you look at this afterwards, you can see that Scotland's Valley is settled clear up. You're really getting up into the hills here where some of these land claims are. Then the Gales Creek Valley, the first settler went clear up here at where Gales Creek is now. This whole, there was nobody west of this point. And one guy named Philemon Lee, who I'd like to know something more about, settled at Gales Creek, because he certainly liked Titus. When you think about how this is all wood, this is Gales Creek Road. Think what it's like. And there he is, way up there. But then it rapidly filled up, just about a straight line along what is now Gales Creek Road. The interesting part, and interesting to me, is the history of the settlement of this region, the region from Hillside to Greenville to Roy, this nice valley up here in the north. There are, and I mustn't talk any longer, so I mustn't say anything about it, but that, as you can see, as you can see, if you look at the map, all the land was taken. That obviously is good agricultural land. And all of that land was taken during the time 50 to 55, and it's taken up solid now. So that by the time 55 comes, all of the land, then there were settlements along the Yaxton and along the Twelve Valley. All of the land that is tillable is taken and up each of the valleys, but not, of course, on the hills and not the swampy land south of Cornelius. That's the only empty thing. Sorry, I promise about you.